Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Well, it's summertime at last, and that means that kids are out of school, things are moving a bit more slowly, families are maybe taking a trip or two, and folks all over the country are just generally taking it a little easier. Except, of course, in Washington. Even in the lazy, hazy days of summer, it pays to keep an eye on what's going on in the halls of Congress and, in some ways even more importantly, in the bureaucracies that directly influence our day-to-day lives in cyberspace and increasingly in the conjunction of cyberspace and physical space. One point that we've made from time to time here on the Electronic Cottage is that a person is wise to think about what type of information he or she hands out about him or herself, because you never know where it might wind up in our electronically connected world. A poster child example of what can happen to personal information has recently emerged from, of all places, the Department of Defense. Recently, the Pentagon placed a notice in the Federal Register entitled, quote, Notice to Add a System of Records, DHRA-04, Joint Advertising and Market Research Recruiting Database, end quote. A sharp-eyed reporter at the Washington Post, Jonathan Krim, saw that notice, poked around a bit, and wrote a story which put the notice into somewhat clearer English. The title of his story was, quote, Pentagon Creating Student Database, end quote. As you might imagine, that headline got a lot of people's attention, and the Pentagon decided it might be a good idea to hold a, quote, media roundtable in order to clarify what the Pentagon was going to do with this student database, which it turns out contains information on many millions of young people of military age, and not just students. I heartily recommend reading through the transcript of that media roundtable. You can find it on the Department of Defense website at www.dod.mil/transcripts/2005/tr2005-0623-3121.html. Before we take a look at what this database contains and why it represents an enormous step forward in the combination of government and commercial aggregation of data about, in this particular case, our young people, a little background is in order. As many recent media reports have pointed out, the Army and Marine Corps are having a bit of a problem in meeting their recruitment goals in this age of the war in Iraq. The Reserves and the National Guard are having serious problems as well. In order to maintain an all-volunteer Army, the Pentagon claims the military services need more information so they can market the military more effectively to those that they see as potential recruits. Congress apparently wanted to help in that effort. That's why, buried in the contentious No Child Left Behind Act, is a requirement that high schools provide the names and contact information of their students to military recruiters. What? You didn't know that your high school student's name had been given to the local recruiter? Well, perhaps that's because few high schools take the trouble to send home a note informing parents and students of that fact. Fewer still let them know that parents have the option to indicate that they do not want their child's name sent to the recruiters. That parental decision effectively authorizes the school to withhold those student names when the time comes to send the student list out to the recruiting groups. If you have a high school age student and haven't gotten a notice about this provision of the No Child Left Behind Act, with an option to withhold your child's name, you may want to have a conversation with your high school principal. At any rate, even with those student lists, recruiting is not going as well as planned. So the Pentagon wants a more targeted list of recruiting prospects. And from a marketing perspective, that makes sense. There is, however, one little problem with gathering a lot more marketing-type data about students and other young people so the military can make their recruiting pitches more effective. It's called the Privacy Act of 1974. That act, passed way back at the beginning of the widespread use of computers, noted that computerization of information at the federal level offered the possibility of privacy abuse of citizens. And so the law set out limits on what types of information the government could collect, how it could collect it, and what it could do with it. The difficulty becomes apparent when you look at the types of information the Pentagon database is planning to hold on high school students 16 to 18 years of age, college students, anyone who's registered in the Selective Service System, and, in one of the great examples of Orwellian doublespeak, those who have asked to be removed from the system. Those categories of information include, and here I quote from the Federal Register of May 23, 2005, quote, full name, date of birth, gender, address, city, state, zip code, where available, social security number, email address, ethnicity, telephone number, high school name, graduation date, grade point average, education level, college intent, if documented, military interest, if documented, field of study, current college attending, ASVB test date, and Armed Forces Qualifying Test Category score, end quote. This sounds like a lot of information that you'd find in a telemarketer's database. Can the federal government, or more specifically the Pentagon, actually collect that kind of data legally? Probably not. So the Pentagon is simply going to buy most of that information from commercial marketing databases and combine it with, for example, the names of those who had to register by law with the Selective Service. Wait a minute, you say. Can the federal government, under the Privacy Act, store that data even if the Pentagon only buys it? Well, there's some question about that. So the Pentagon is simply contracting with a private company called BeNow, a direct marketing company in Wakefield, Massachusetts, to develop and manage the database. But wait, doesn't the Privacy Act direct federal agencies to collect data directly from those whom it's putting in a database, both to ensure that the information is accurate and that the subject knows that their information is being put in a database? Well, yes. But as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, David Chu, said over and over in the media roundtable mentioned earlier, the Pentagon didn't collect the information. It just bought it from commercial providers. And those providers gathered the information about your child's grade point average or future college plans from who knows where, which is exactly the point we started out with. You never know where personal information you provide to a phone survey or a coupon discount offer or an online prize drawing is going to end up. This type of data conflation of government and private databases is exactly what programs like the Total Information Awareness Initiative were aiming for. Congress, of course, found the TIA quite questionable and withdrew funding. But for some reason, giving the data to a private company to manage, one which, by the way, has absolutely no privacy policy on their website, somehow seems to magically exempt the Pentagon from the law as expressed in the Privacy Act of 1974 and other federal legislation. Not surprisingly, some think this is, to put it politely, a cheat, an end run around existing law made possible by the digital age, an end run that seriously impinges on the privacy of our young people and their families. If you'd like to see a very reasoned and precise item-by-item analysis of this new database in light of the Privacy Act and other existing law, go to www.epic.org. That's the website of the Electronic Privacy Information Center. And do take a look at the Media Roundtable site on the Department of Defense website and see which one you think makes more sense. The living may be easy in the summertime, but it still may make good sense to pay attention to goings-on in Washington as public and private data merge in ways never before possible and, in the words of Supreme Court Justice Brandeis, the right to be left alone, what we now think of as privacy, seems more and more under siege, made possible by developments in the digital domain which increasingly have repercussions in the physical domain. Stay tuned. And we'll try to keep our eyes and ears open for new developments, summer or no summer, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.